I have a funny title today. What to do in a world gone crazy. And in today, there are a lot of people concerned because it does seem like the world has actually gone crazy. There's no limits to what the evil people are going to do to get their way. Yes. Truth is promoted as a lie. Lie is promoted as the truth. Right is said to be wrong, and wrong is declared to be right. People in the world around us, people are reacting in many different ways. Many people are living in fear because of what's going on. Many are fretting and fussing about things that other people are doing that are wrong. Some people are continually watching the news and they get troubled by what they see. And I see too many of God's people responding in the same way that the world people are. Some of God's people are living in fear and worry. Some who say they're believers, they're fretting and fussing and continually talking about the wrongs of society. Some call themselves Christians and they're hateful and easily offended and hold grudges toward everybody else. Believers should live distinctly different. Rick Renner says in his book, How to Keep Your Head on Straight in a Crazy World, the challenge before us as God's people is to keep the lunacy outside the church, our families, refusing to allow our thinking to be muddled by the spirit of the age. You know, the world ought to see we that call ourselves Christians conducting ourselves differently than they do. When they're afraid, we should be able to display peace. When they're perplexed with no answers, we should have directions and solutions from the Lord. When they're gloomy and full of despair, we should be able to exhibit joy and gladness. Let's turn to Psalms 37 and look at what David said. Psalms 37. We're going to start read 1 through 5. Psalms 37. I'll give you a chance to turn there. Some are getting you on your device. Some got your regular Bible there. I got it all printed out because I can go and pull up all the different translations and print it right here, and I don't have to hunt it that way. Don't worry about the wicked or envy those who do wrong. For like grass, they will soon fade away. Like spring flowers, they soon wither. Trust in the Lord and do good. Then you'll live safely in the land and prosper. Take delight in the Lord and he will give you your heart's desires. Commit everything you do to the Lord and trust him and he will help you. I was reading that out of the NLT. I sort of like it sort of says it better for us in the way we talk today. David's world was actually, if you'll study when he's writing this, his world was sort of crazy and had been turned upside down. He was living in a world that was against everything God said. His nation, Israel, was surrounded by all the enemies that were trying to kill him. Within Israel, evil people were plotting and scheming to overthrow him as the king of Israel. Yet he declared that we can put our trust in God and God can do what no man can do. There are three words that I want us to zero in on this morning. Three words. Trust in the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord. Commit everything to the Lord. I want us to look at each of these words for just a moment. Continually put your trust in the living God. Psalms 37:3 said, trust in the Lord and do good, then you will live safely in the land and prosper. David assured us that if we would put our trust in him, that we would be able to live safely and prosper. You don't have to be afraid. We don't have to worry. We're going to make it if we trust him. Smith Wigglesworth in Ever Increasing Faith said, there is something about believing God that will cause him to pass over 1 million people just to get to you. We shouldn't fear what's around us and what others are doing. We don't put our trust in man. We don't depend upon the resources in the natural for our sustenance. We trust in the living God and in what he said in this word concerning our lives. He said that he would take care of us. He said he would protect us. He said if we would do what he told us to do by giving, that he would bless us. You see, it's up to us to trust in him with all of our heart. King Solomon, David's son, in Proverbs 3, 5 and 6, and you all know it, but I'm going to read it to you anyway out of the NLT. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. Solomon here is telling us that God guides those who put their trust in him. No matter what trouble they're facing, no matter what they're going through, no matter what's coming at them, he says, put your trust in him, in God, and he will direct you through to victory. Of course, we know it says, those that love the Lord, he will direct their steps. But see, you've got to trust him. And then when he directs you, you have to follow what he is, his direction. Now, somebody could ask me, all right, I got to fly out. How do I get to the airport? So I could tell them, okay, you go down here to the signal light, you turn right, you go down there to the freeway, you get on the freeway and you head west until you get to 169 Highway and you get on that, take a right, go up on that. And there you keep going till you see a sign that says the airport, and it'll turn you off on there on 244 and it'll direct you. You know, I could direct them. I could give them direction. All right, they get in their car and they go out here, and instead of turning right, they turn left and head this way. Now, they can get there if they'll turn left at the next signal light and go to the freeway, but if they don't, they're going to end up way out yonder, not even close to the airport. Although I gave them direction, right? You've got to follow the direction that he gives you. You trust in him. He gives you direction. Now you have to follow that direction if you're expecting to get what he said the word said belongs to you. You see, we have the word of God to tell us what to do. Somebody said, well, he's not talking to me. Yes, he is, right here. Here's your direction, right here, in this word. He's talking to you right here. You know, we have the Holy Spirit living within us. The power of God, the greater one, is living inside of us to lead us and to guide us. When he comes and gives you something on the inside, He don't knock you down. He just sort of gives you a little nudge. You better learn to pay attention to that. I know many times growing up with my dad, we're traveling all over. He traveled and ministered out on the road in evangelistic work, even when I was, you know, 4, 5, 6 years old. We would start to leave. And I remember one specific time Mama and Papa Goodwin, Brother and Sister J.R. Goodwin, they were sort of mom and dad's mentors. I was born, and he was pastoring a church that, and they were older over here, and they were pastoring Greenville. And I know that Dad would drive out of the way sometimes just to go and pray with Mama and Papa Goodwin. That's what I called them. We were there, and I've told this story before, but I'm going to tell it again. And so we had all left, and me and my sis and Mom were in the car already, and Dad was standing there talking to Papa Goodwin, and all of a sudden he said, "Get out of the car, we can't leave yet. Let's go back in the house." Well, about 15 minutes or so, I don't know how long it was, he said, "Okay, we can go now." And we got out on the highway, and there was a huge fire going on. A gasoline tanker truck had turned over and spilled gas all over the highway, and it had ignited, and there was a whole bunch of cars that were engulfed in flames besides the truck. And Dad said, "That's the reason why we couldn't leave. If we'd have left it when we started to, we would have been right in the middle of that." He said, "Learn to listen." I mean, I'm 5 years old. He said, "Learn to listen to the Spirit of God on the inside of you." See, that's the Holy Spirit. He'll tell you something. I mean, it hadn't been a couple years ago. Lynette was headed home from the office right down there at the signal light. The light was green, it had just turned green, and she was, but something inside of her said, "Slow down, slow down." Why should she slow down? The light is green. It just turned green. The traffic is starting up, but she slowed down, and just as she got in the intersection, a car came by right in front of her nose. I mean, barely missed the front of her car. If she'd have kept going, it'd have got her right in the side, right in the driver's door. You see, you got to learn. I mean, trust in the Lord, and He'll direct you, but you got to listen to Him when He directs you. Anybody getting anything out of this? And we have a power, a name that is greater than any name, the name of Jesus. There's no other name that's greater than the name of Jesus. We need to learn to listen to God and trust in Him. Trust the Word. Trust the Holy Spirit. Use the name of Jesus. Too often, we're feeding on the news of the world instead of the good news of the Word of God. When we feed too much on the news of the world, it weakens our faith. It makes us hesitant in depending upon God and trusting God. It makes us fearful because we hear everything they're saying. Let's take a look at what the Apostle Paul wrote in Romans 12:2. I'm going to read the New King James, and then I'm going to read this from the Message because I like the way it says it. "Do not be conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you should prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Now, I want you to listen close to how the Message reads this. "Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out, readily recognizing what He wants from you and quickly responding to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you and develops well-formed maturity in you." In the world we live in today, they have programmed us through all the media, through television. They programmed us to become adjusted to the culture and fit into it without thinking. Come on now. That's the news of the world is designed to conform us to their agendas and philosophies. The reason it is because Paul, writing 2 Corinthians 4:4, he says, the devil is the god of this world. He hates anything to do with God, so he's doing everything he can to get God's man to do and conform to his ways. It's up to us that know the truth to stand up strong and to be transformed by the good news of God's word and to live the life that the word of God says we can live and not be afraid of what's going to happen. The news world wants to control people, but the good news wants to change people. We need to keep feeding our faith daily on the word of God. Of course, we know in Matthew 4:4, Jesus told Satan, and when he was being tempted, he said, people don't live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Feeding daily on the word of God will help you to put your trust in God and not lean to your natural understanding. See, hey, we can't hide and realize that things is not happening. They are happening in the world. But we don't have to be afraid. We don't have to bow down. We can stand strong in the name of Jesus, in the power of the Holy Spirit, knowing, not hoping, but knowing that we will be taken care of. Because the power of God is stronger, greater than any power that's in this world. And give me some water. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Isn't Jesus wonderful? Thank you, sweetie. That's my wonderful daughter right there. And that young man doing the announcements is my wonderful son. Thank God for them. Thank God that they're following in the legacy of their grandfather and of me. Hallelujah. Put your trust in God. Depend on him. Don't depend on yourself. You can't do it anyway. I see people all the time. They're trying to change something, trying to change. Hey, and if they could have changed it, already happened. Turn to God and he'll change it. He'll do what no other person can do. Feeding on God's word will strengthen you. It will give you the strength to stand when everybody else is falling. Then let's go to that next word. That next word, delight. Delight, take delight in the Lord. He'll give you your heart's desires. One of the key things that caused God to move mightily in David's life is that he was a man, or a person, we could say, after God's own heart. He continually worshiped God. He sought after God with his whole heart, with his whole self. He longed for the things of God more than he longed for the things of the world. Now, there's nothing wrong with having some material things, but they should not be our main focus. Our main focus would be to long for the things of God. In fact, he said in Matthew 6:33, if you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things will be added unto you. And if you go read up above that, it's talking about the material things that you need to live by. You won't even have to believe for them. Some people don't believe in God. But hey, if you're seeking God with your whole heart, they'll be added to you. And you're living right and doing what he told you to do. It says here that David longed for the things of God more than the things of the world. David listened and meditated on the word of God. Go to Psalms 1. Most of you know it, but we're going to read it from the NLT. Psalms 1. Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join with mockers. But they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. They are like trees planted along the riverbanks, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves will never wither, and they'll prosper in all they do. David based his life on God and what God said. And that's what we have to do. If you've ever driven west out across the desert there, Arizona, New Mexico, and the lower part of California down there, you'd be driving out across there and it's desolate. And off in the distance is a whole row of green trees just standing there. But if you go and find out, there is a stream of water right there that's giving them their sustenance. It's giving them their life. That's what he's saying. Although everything else is desolate around you, it may look bleak and it may look bad, but if you're planted in the Word and studying the Word, you'll be blossoming. You'll be enjoying all the blessings of God. That's what he's talking about. Anybody ever seen that? I've driven that. First time I ever went there was when I just got out of the ninth grade and Dad picked us up and we went to California. First time I've been there. David did not go by his feelings and his emotions. He went by what the Word said. The Word says it, I believe it, that settles it, period. I don't care whether I feel it or not. Thank God for feelings, and feelings has its place, but it doesn't have its place when it comes to the Word of God, against the Word of God. He delighted himself in the Lord, David did. And it caused him to triumph over his enemies and to prosper. You know, one of the last church, my dad only pastored four churches. And he left that last church in the middle of my third grade year. But he was pastoring that church there in Van. And when he took the church, it was a troubled church. In fact, we didn't even get to move into the parsonage because we had to stay with the deacon for a week or two so they could get him out. He had, that's another story. He had messed everything up. The church was down to nothing. And they were talking about all of these problems and they were all, the deacons, they were all upset, didn't know what they was going to do. Dad just sat there and listened at them. Finally, one of them said, "Brother Hagin, what are we going to do?" And for you that know my dad, Kenneth E. Hagin, he just smiled at him. He said, "I'll tell you guys what we're going to do. We're going to act like the Word of God is true. We're going to act like the Word of God is true. In this world that has gone crazy. And the reason is because the enemy, the devil himself, knows that his time is short and he's doing everything he can to steal all of God's people that he can. But if you'll trust in him and delight yourself in him, you'll come through on top. Some people seek God's provision more than they seek God himself. Some people want prosperity more than they want the provider. You know, there's an old song we used to sing, "Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and all the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace." Having Jesus in our hearts ought to thrill us more than anything. Knowing God ought to excite us more than knowing the most famous person in the world. The Apostle Paul said he delighted himself in the Lord. Come on now. See, we need to understand these three words I'm talking about. Make God the delight of your life. Look here, Philippians 3:8. Philippians 3:8, I'm going to read it from the NLT. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Jesus Christ my Lord. For his sake, I discard everything else, counted it all garbage so that I can gain Christ. Paul said all my accomplishments are nothing. And he accomplished a great deal. He's the greatest missionary the church has ever known. He had mega churches before anybody ever heard of mega church. Go study how many people were in the church in Ephesus. All his earthly accomplishments, his social status, his religious status, he considered it all like garbage compared to knowing Christ. James, Pastor James, pastor of the church in Jerusalem, he said in James 4:7, come close to God and God will come close to you. Draw close to God in your thoughts, in your desires. It's when we dwell under the shadow of the Almighty that the promises of God come to us. Psalm 91, if you want it. Now, that third word, let's look at it for just a moment. Commit. Now, that's a word that most people don't like because it requires something out of you. It requires you to do something. Yeah. A lot of people like to talk about prayer, but they're not committed to coming and getting in prayer. When I was a kid, and even since I've been in the ministry for 62 years, I've seen people, we call a prayer meeting, and they come, they pray about 5 minutes, and then they sit there reading their Bible. We didn't call a Bible reading meeting. We call a prayer meeting. How many of y'all have seen that happen? It's all right if the Lord remind you of scripture, you won't go look it up real quick, but then you got to get back to praying, because that's what the meeting was. It's a prayer meeting. It wasn't a Bible reading meeting. You need to have a Bible reading meeting at home every day. Commit your life to live according to God's ways. Commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust him and he will help you. Notice it says everything. There's a lot of people who got a lot committed, but they don't got everything committed. You can have all of them, God, but this. I commit everything but this. Oh, now it's getting quiet in here now. The truth is, when you commit yourself to the Lord, then more of God's blessings are available to you. When we totally commit, God's blessings are there for us. When we totally commit to God's plan for our life, sometimes you don't understand it, but you commit to it anyway. I didn't understand why I had to leave college in my senior year in Bible college to go in the Army. But I said, all right, God, I've committed my way unto you. I'm just going to go with it. I expect you to lead my life. When we commit our ways, then he'll show us the way. We all know the story of the three Hebrew guys that wouldn't bow down to the king's image. Daniel 3. I'm going to read 16 through 18 in the NLT. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you. If we're thrown into the blazing fire, blazing furnace, God, the God whom we serve is able to save us. He will rescue us from your power, you imagine. But even if he doesn't, we want to make it clear to you, your majesty, that we will never serve your gods or worship the gold statue you've set up. I want you to notice they had faith in their God, but they were committed to him even if he didn't deliver them. They said, we are committed to God. Well, their commitment and their faith caused a fourth man to show up in the fire. They didn't burn. They didn't smell like smoke. There's a song that I've heard sung by many different groups. This one line in it says, they didn't bend, they didn't bow, and they didn't burn. Anybody ever heard that song? Probably have if you listen, especially to quartet music. I believe that when you have a great commitment to God, it releases the blessings in our lives. God honors commitment to him and to his word. God rewards commitment. You know, when we stand strong and committed, we're not standing alone. The fourth man in the fire is there with us. El Shaddai, the God that's more than enough, is there with us. When we stand totally committed, our Heavenly Father shows up in a world gone crazy. David said, trust, delight, and commit yourself to God. Say it with me. Trust, delight, commit. These three little words will enable us to reach in to the Spirit of God and take a hold of blessings that we can't even number. Three words that connect us totally to God and will deliver us and set us to victory. You know, I believe that if we will take these three words and commit ourselves to him, that he will do for us what he did for David, what he did for the three Hebrew children, what he did for Paul, what he did for Daniel, what he did for anyone you want to name. And he will do it again and again and again. Everybody stand. Heavenly Father, I talked to these people for a few moments today to show them that if they will use these three words, God will show up. Trust you. Delight in you. Commit ourselves to you. That you'll show up and you'll do again what you did for so many that we read about in the Bible. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Let's sing.
You may be down and feel like God has somehow forgotten. Circumstances you can't get through. Right now it seems there's no way out and you're going under. But God's proven time and time again he'll take care.
Do it again.
If you just take a look at where you knows that.
Don't you know God has not changed? You may not know how, you may not know when, but He'll do it again.
God knows the things that you're going through. He knows how you're hurting. Has been broken in two, but He's the God of the sun, the stars, the seas, and He is your Father. He'll calm the storm, He'll find a way to fix it for you, and He'll do it again.
God, He'll do it again.
Crazy world, but the crazy world don't have to live in me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, I trust you got something out of this message today. Would you bow your heads for me just a minute? I realize that some people might not know this God and this Jesus we're talking about. Or you might need to rededicate your life to God. Somebody watching out there may have never accepted Christ. Or you may know what it is to walk with Him, but you need to rededicate. You need to put yourself back in position. If that's you, I'm going to say a prayer, and I want this congregation and you to repeat it after me. Heavenly Father, thank you for your Son, Jesus. I believe that He's the Son of God. I believe that He lived, He died, and He rose again for my salvation. You said in your word that if I would believe those things in my heart and confess them with my mouth, I will be saved. I thank you, Lord, that I am a new person in Christ Jesus. because I believe in my heart and I've confessed them with my mouth. I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen and amen. If you prayed that prayer with us online, just go to your computer and go to partnerservice@rhema.org and let us know about it. If you prayed that prayer in for rededication or salvation here, see one of these guys with one of these blue shirts on, ushers, and they'll let them know about it, and they'll get you some material. Praise the Lord. Tonight, 6 o'clock, right here once again. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, just wave at somebody. Say, God bless you. And we'll see you tonight at 6 o'clock. Don't forget all the announcements. Don't forget to go register to vote if you're not registered to vote. God bless. See you tonight.